Hugh already mentioned in the introduction, it's mainly a personal story. So not only about what is important about this DevOps thing that everybody's talking about, but mainly how I see it from my own personal perspective for a couple of months already, being the expert deep dive IT pro that I've been for about 20 years already, without doing anything specific in development. I actually found out, and again only a couple of months ago, that it made my life a lot easier when learning some development skills in working in an IT pro environment. And somehow I got this aha moment a couple of months ago, where I found out that by adopting development skills, by learning coding, by playing with Visual Studio, and again mainly towards Azure in my specific example, that it actually helped me in streamlining my lab environments, in redeploying my demo setups and so on, where I used to spend a lot of weekends to rebuild my development, sorry, my demo environment, that it was so hard and taking a lot of time. And then by using, for example, Visual Studio and some other tools that I'm going to talk about, that it actually made my life easier. And I've been trying to convince my fellow IT pro colleagues and even customers, like, yeah, this is the way forward. If you're working with cloud, and you'll find out later on that it's not only about cloud, but again, in my situation, it's mainly cloud oriented, and it's just a lot easier. So with that, couple of topics that I want to cover in the next minutes is, first of all, starting from, yeah, what is this DevOps thing that everybody's talking about, and how can it help me, and why should we start using it? Then once you start adopting the mechanism, the technique, the philosophy, even if you want, is showing you a couple of different DevOps tools that are available today, depending on what environment you're working with. Is it like a true cloud environment like Azure, maybe in a hybrid setup, maybe you're not using cloud at all yet, and still working in your own data center, private cloud environment. So even there, DevOps can be used already. And then showing you some Visual Studio and Visual Studio Online demos to actually do amazing things. And again, I'm not a developer. I don't know anything about coding. So maybe if you're the developer in the session, you might think like, yeah, you know, this is nothing specific to me. But I hope from even from a development background that you'll find out that this Azure thing, it's infrastructure, it's resources, and actually I can help my IT pro colleagues to actually build their environments in a lot smoother way. I'm going to skip my personal introduction because you already took care of this. So with that, this is like the first official slide. Why DevOps and why now? I mean, everybody's talking about this DevOps thing. Just a couple of questions based on remarks and feedback, some concerns from colleagues, from customers. Is, yeah, you know, this DevOps thing in the development space, we used to call this agile. From an IT pro perspective, I could think of ETIL, for example, which is like a streamlined way of working, trying to optimize the processes and having different teams working together. So yeah, is this the new ETIL, the new agile, or you know, it's not that clear for the moment. Another thing is that in the DevOps thing, again, it's gluing the two worlds together. So mainly developers and operations people like IT pros, and somewhere in between, there's what I like to call the DevOps referee. It's mainly the project manager who's like responsible for the full cycle of getting the applications live without actually being responsible or even being involved in the technical aspects of it. And then with the DevOps, yeah, who's responsible for deploying the code? So in a typical scenario, the developers, they build, let's take a website as an example. They build the coding, HTML file, ASP.NET files, and all the other components. And then they hand over the coding, like a file, I don't know, a zip file or something, to the IT pro guys, and they have to put it out on the web server. And then when something goes wrong, yeah, it's like pinpointing or even fighting or battling, like, yeah, but it's the server is running, It's probably some issue in the coding where the developer says, yeah, but I tried it out in my test environment. Everything is working, so it's probably the IT pro guy messing up my server. And the idea is that DevOps is probably helping you in streamlining and actually avoiding fights in the IT room. Then once your application, your resources are deployed, yeah, what about maintenance? What about updates? Should we go back to the developers for every single update in the coding? What if we have updates every few months, maybe every few hours, few days, whatsoever? So basically, a lot of questions that are not that clear for the moment. This one is always interesting. It's actually a picture that I took from the official, what I like to call the official DevOps website. If you're really interested in getting a lot more out of DevOps besides this session, I think it's one of the best resources so far. This one is always interesting to explain. I think we can all agree that this is like an elephant. Now, for me, as being a Belgian, when I see an elephant, I mean, in a picture, not really like the live animal, but in a picture, I always start thinking about chocolate, because one of our biggest brands and one of the best chocolates, in my opinion, they use an elephant in their logo. So maybe you think about, it's just an elephant, but for me, it's like, it's an elephant, but anyway, it's chocolate. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was in India, where, Indian people think a lot different about elephants than I do, and making the link to chocolate. Now, why am I sharing this is that everybody has the elephant being DevOps as a keyword, but everybody has like a different opinion or a different meaning about it. So for some, DevOps means it's development and operations teams working together. Another one is, DevOps is treating your infrastructure as code. Deploying Azure resources, one of the things that I'm going to talk about later on. Or DevOps is, it's nothing special. It's just using automation. It's PowerShell scripting. It's using any other tool that's available, and we just automate our operations. Or it's feature switches. It's jumping from a test development to staging development to a production environment, and maybe like the three cycles every few weeks, every few months, again and again. Or DevOps, it's only of interest for small deployments. Or it's one of those other methodologies, Kanban or operations. So a lot of different meanings. And then some even common misconceptions that companies think like, DevOps, it's only for cloud-only companies, companies who are using cloud technology. Or DevOps, it's mainly for developers. It's nothing really related to IT pros. Or operations managers or IT pro guys, they just need to learn development skills. Without development skills, there won't be any IT pros anymore in the next coming years. Or again, DevOps is only, and again, stressing the word only, for cloud deployments. And I can already tell you that it's not only for cloud deployments. And specifically, it's not only for small deployments. I've seen this methodology working in smaller environments where my environment, my Azure demo environment, is like the smallest deployment I can think of. But I also have a couple of international customers who are actually using this way of working for a couple of months already, and they're actually pretty happy about it. Now, in a typical traditional way of working, and again, I don't want to blame anybody here who's like attending this session, but in a overall, a typical development and operations cycle is the developer hands in the code. I think this is so cool to show you. Yeah. So the developer, hey, IT pro, here's my code. Can you deploy it on the server? And then the IT pro guy deploys it on the server. The website isn't running and the application is down. And then, of course, the coolest thing is, who can we blame for this issue? And then in between, there's like a wall of confusion, or even literally a wall in between, like the developer sides are on the fifth floor and the IT pro guys are on the first floor, because then it's easier for them to go downstairs to the data center. So there are literally a couple of walls in between. When talking about people and processes like deploying applications, building resources, and keeping IT resources alive. This was actually interesting. So it's based on a more detailed white paper from Gartner. But I was pretty amazed when I saw these numbers. So in overall IT project handling, getting applications live, 40% of the full process cycle was actually linked to application failures, like issues in change management, or the people are too busy and they cannot manage to deploy the code in time, or releasing codes and then not really doing the full testing, not using staging, coding is live, and yeah, something is not working. Another 40% of a project downtime is actually linked to the operator errors, like forgetting deployments, not patching the servers, not having the correct procedures, or even manual issues with operations. Like, I'm gonna push out a new version of the application, and I just copied my testing zip file instead of my staging or production ready zip file. And only 20% is actually linked to other issues like hardware issues, power issues, networking issues, and so on. If we compare the full IT life cycle, again, deploying any resource, not that important what workload we're thinking of, I like to compare it with like a train track. So on one side, we have the requirements. I want to have my web shop ready. And on the other side, I have my customer who's like, hey, thank you, IT partner, for putting my application live. And then in between those blue bullets are actually stations. And they can be related to different stages, cycles in my overall IT project. And it starts with a business sponsor, like defending the business idea. We need a web shop. Then we start development, our first proof of concept, and then moving to a test platform and so on. Then talking with security people, like, yeah, go and use certificates. What about authentication? What about logging? And so on and so on. And then during the project, I mean, it's not that important to go through each and every stage of the project, but in between, there's always a concern, like, yeah, but how long does it take? And from a customer perspective, when they think about, yeah, I'm gonna build this new shiny cool website for optimizing my business. Yeah, they wanted like production ready 2 weeks ago. So somehow taking all those concerns and stages into account, it might give you some challenges. And then it creates a backlog. Like, we start with, I don't know, 50 features and then adding a few new ones and losing some other ones. And then again, how long does it take to actually have it live? And worst case, we're going to use what's called a sprint mechanism. Like, we have this backlog, and at some point in time, we have to, yeah, speed up the process of deployment to make sure that everything is live. And then in between, there we are again with those walls of confusion, or even the blocking walls. Like, everything is fine in development, but there's no approval to put it live without all those security concerns. And after security, we go to testing, then we go back to development because we missed some things, and so on and so on. So a lot of things can go wrong, and specifically because we are again working with human beings and different departments and different processes and different procedures and a lot of things that can go wrong in any IT environment. And this is about the same from another angle. So I'm not really gonna spend too much time on this one. But then again, where I started from in my introduction, from the development side, the left green box on my screen, yeah, it's agile. We have this formalized way of working from the development side. And then on the other side, we do have our operations teams who are mainly thinking in ETL terms. And then somehow we try to glue the two worlds together using automation. And that's, in my opinion, the true short story of what DevOps actually means. If you are somehow getting inspired about this DevOps thing, then this is basically the summary of the full story. It's gluing teams together. It's about people. It's making sure that the IT pro guys, the operations teams, and the developer teams are actually becoming friends. That no one is to blame if something goes wrong beside the full team. There's always something that can go wrong, and it's up to the team. Like, you know, it's teamwork. It's not, oh no, the developers, they made some error in the development cycle, or it's the IT pro guy not capable of deploying the 100% verified coding. I mean, it's working together. And then formalizing the processes from a testing environment, migrating the coding to staging environments, doing testing again, and then stepping over to production environments. And again, I'll show you later on in a demo how that process can be achieved and somehow even can be automated from within Visual Studio. And then the last component is the product. So this is our solution. Now, in short, when positioning DevOps as a way of working, like a formalized process, it starts on the left bottom side. We do have our two teams, developers and operations teams. We build a solution, like, again, a website, a web shop in Azure, for example. Then the developers, they connect to a code repository. It's like a library where the different developers can actually share their code and working with different teams on the same end result. From the code repository, all the code snippets are there. We're going to port it up to the build environment. So we're going to build our website, creating databases, and then moving to the test side. Once approved for release, then we're going to deploy it into the cloud. And then once it's deployed, then it's mainly hand over to the IT pro team, doing monitoring, maybe even improving, like think of auto-scaling, think of high availability, and so on and so on. And from there on, it's actually back to the developers, and then the full cycle starts again. Again, in short, making sure that you know what it's about. DevOps is not that one single word. It's do something, something, something continuously. It's planning, it's developing, it's testing, handing over, integration and delivery, releasing, deploying, monitoring, and then again, for updates, for optimizing the platform, it's starting all over again, and again, and again. And then again, trying to convince you what is DevOps thing, why is it so important, or should we actually care about it? I found some interesting quotes and numbers. And again, I know that Gartner and Forrester, it's a lot, oh, so easy to use them, but somehow I think it's not always 100% correct. But again, a lot of future ideas that they have, or even talking to their customers and getting feedback, it's sometimes pretty interesting. So for example, Gartner made this interesting statement saying that 25% of the global 2000 businesses will start using DevOps techniques in this year, and this year is 2016. So that means that 500 of those top 2000 businesses worldwide will start using DevOps. I mean, that's massive. Or another resource, Forrester, one of their statements is within maximum 5 years from now, DevOps will be the norm in solution development, and they specifically pinpointed cloud solution development. That means that, again, it's not just some keyword, it's not a buzzword, it's a true part of our IT industry to be followed. And then Puppets, which is one of the DevOps tools, if I can call it like that, they have another interesting quote saying that high-performing IT organizations embracing DevOps techniques deploy 30 times more frequently with 200 times shorter lead times. So from the initial stage all the way down to production ready is 200 times faster. Then when they deployed their solutions by using DevOps mechanism techniques, 60%, 60 times fewer failures, and even in those failures, 168 times faster recovery. Because first of all, again, you have this streamlined way of working with continuous update, continuous delivery. It's a lot easier to go back to the previous version and then just verifying the minor changes in between instead of not having any testing staging process at all and then needing to go to the full development cycle again to actually pinpoint the issue, or going back to the IT pro team and trying to find out why the code that is working in staging is actually not working anymore in production. So that was about 20 minutes introduction on DevOps, like the DevOps terminology and why it's so important. So I hope it gives you a good idea on, why should I start investigating this DevOps thing? And again, you're present in this session, so that means that somehow you're already interested in learning about DevOps. Now, taking it one step further to the technology is, what about my environment? How can I integrate this DevOps idea in my platforms? When we think about the CloudOS, I mean, this has been the Microsoft pitch since Windows Server 2012, so close to 4 years, is again, the dev guys, the IT pro guys, and we're gonna release our platform. And then we build some coding, releasing the code into a build environment, testing, fine-tuning issues, going back to the build, then back to testing from build to deployment, and then the application is live. And when the application is live out of the Microsoft Cloud OS, it actually doesn't matter where the application is running. It could be in the customer data center, it could be in the Microsoft Azure Cloud environment, or even at a hosting company, or best case, actually running all over the place, where the front-end website is running in Azure, but the database is still running in the customer's data center, and then logging is in some service provider's hosting environment, or any other example you can think of. Now, when mapping this to some more specific technologies, we mainly talk about System Center, one of those Microsoft products mainly being used by the IT pro guys, so the ops part of the DevOps. Because once the code is ready, the code has been deployed in production, we can use App Controller. It's a little bit outdated already, but somehow it's still valid. Where App Controller is the environment that allowed you to integrate System Center Virtual Machine Manager, for example, with Azure Cloud technology, or using Orchestrator as an automation engine. So based on what's called runbooks, we can actually optimize and streamline and automate part or even most of our deployment and management cycle. Using Configuration Manager for managing the servers, patching, automation, managing clients, and so on. And from a pure operations perspective, using Operations Manager for management and monitoring purposes, and maybe using Data Protection Manager or any other backup tool to make sure that we have backups of our environment. And that was mainly the Microsoft stack of solutions. And again, it's not the only one. And then at some point, we're trying to integrate the DevOps again in our scenario. So from a development perspective, one of the tools you can use is Visual Studio. Visual Studio connects with Visual Studio Online, so it's a Microsoft-hosted environment that allows the repository, so like a centralized online database, where developers can actually work together in the same library and building and update code snippets, or integrating with Team Foundation Server, another Microsoft technology, or another pretty popular solution nowadays is Git. And then again, we have the repository, we build something, we test it, and then we hand it over in the deployment cycle. And that's already where the two worlds are actually coming together. The same goes in a cloud, or mainly cloud world, where again, we have Visual Studio developing, for example, Azure Resource Manager templates one of the things that I'll show you in a demo that's coming up. And then using Visual Studio Online again, building, testing, handing over for deployments, and then using, for example, Puppet or Chef or PowerShell DSC, desired state configuration, to actually optimize and streamline and automate your deployment processes. And then the environment is up and running in Azure. And out of Visual Studio, we can, for example, automate our deployment of websites, resource groups, storage accounts, databases, and all the other cool Azure components that we can think of. And then relying on, again, Azure Application Insights, for example, giving you detailed logging feedback on how your application is behaving in Azure. What about performance issues that we might have? What about the uptime of my environment, and so on and so on. Then again, taking it one step further outside of Microsoft solutions as such is GitHub, for example, or Goatplex, which are two well-known online libraries with actually pre-built templates, pre-built coding that you can reuse. It's like a community concept where even you as a developer or an IT pro can create your own Azure deployment scripts and actually publish them on GitHub or Codeplex. Or other tools like I already mentioned, Chef and Puppet. It's like PowerShell, but a lot more intelligent graphical interfaces, allowing you to build your full sourcing, build, test, staging, deployment process. That's why I like to describe it as the ultimate DevOps tools. And then again, monitoring System Center already mentioned, integrating with Nagios, integrating with Zabbix, any other monitoring solution, logging tool you can think of. So with that, I think it's about time to show you some interesting demos. And for that, I need to jump to my Azure environment. Now, if you're really new to Azure, I hope not. I mean, it's been there for like 6, 7 years already. But if you're too new to Azure, don't worry about it. You can create your own trial environment to redo a couple of demos that I'm going to show you. So one of the first things is when you deploy something in Azure, like an easy example, a virtual machine. Let's take a SQL Server as an example. What actually happens in background is I'm going to deploy this virtual machine. The virtual machine runs SQL Server 2014 Enterprise. The SQL Server needs to start up. It gets an IP address and a logon username and all the other technical components. Now, in a typical scenario, this would take quite a lot of effort because you need to build your Windows virtual machine. You need to build your SQL Server, copying files, providing IP addresses, creating networks, and so on and so on. Now, within Azure, in the new way of working with Azure, it's called Resource Manager, we're actually using templates in background. It's called RM Template. So what actually happens in this graphical interface, the Azure portal, is just provide me some parameters and I'm going to automatically deploy this information for you. So if I create a machine, I call this SQL Demo VM1, a username and a password, my subscription, a resource group, SQL resource group, and my location. And what happens in background after providing those parameters, selecting my virtual machine size. So it's basically going through some portal settings, specifying network connections, subnets, SQL server settings. And then when all those parameters are completed, I mean, I'm not going to live deploy this machine. The idea should be clear already that this makes your life a lot easier. Now, this is not really the DevOps thing. I mean, it already helps us in deploying a lot of interesting Azure resources, but it's still a mainly manual way. Now, what if we can automate this, or what if you need to deploy like 30 SQL servers? And the first option is going to the console, the Azure portal, and redeploying those machines again and again. Or maybe you're not really interested in deploying SQL Server, like one of the other Azure workloads, or maybe you just want to take it one step further. Like, let me go back to another example, is deploying a Windows Server VM. But then the VM out of the same demo that I could do, then we just have the virtual machine up and running. I mean, it's there. We can connect to it using an RDP session. It has an IP address and link to networks and so on that we need to build. But then maybe you want to take it one step further, like, yeah, but this server needs to become a domain controller or a web server or a database server or whatsoever. And then it's again using one of the already mentioned examples, PowerShell. So you create a virtual machine, and within the virtual machine, you log on, and then you can reuse your already existing PowerShell scripts from your on-prem data center environment. Or, and this brings me to my next demo, is using one of those cool libraries that I already mentioned on GitHub. So GitHub is this online database repository, whatever you want to call it. I call it my free Azure template resource. So within GitHub, one of those locations is the Azure Quick Start templates. And within the Azure Quick Start templates, I can show you in an easy overview, there are tons and tons of pre-built scripts available. If you want to deploy virtual machines, if you want to deploy a Linux machine, if you want to deploy backup resources or creating site-to-site VPN or whatsoever, I mean, the list is getting pretty long. And as you can see on the right-hand side, it's updated pretty frequently by creating even Docker container demos and a lot of other things. So how does it work? I have here one example ready. So this is one of those, I don't know, 300, 400 pre-built configurations. That actually allows me to create a new Windows virtual machine, and on top of that, create a new domain controller forest, configuring the Windows VM in an Active Directory domain. So this is for me like one of those things that I actually always have to do for every single demo machine that I'm building. I need a domain controller. And in the old way of building my demos, it took me a couple of hours to deploy the VM, installing as a domain controller, thinking of usernames, creating passwords, creating some file servers, and so on and so on. Where now, and I'm actually going to show you, is by using this deploy to Azure, it's actually just doing the same thing, re-authenticating to Azure. So instead of just relying on the Azure Marketplace that I showed you before, I'm actually using a GitHub pre-configured template. Now the idea stays the same. By completing some of these parameters, I can actually automate my deployment. Or even if this pre-configured template is not enough, I can actually go through this interesting file that's called a JSON file that contains a lot of parameters for this specific deployment. And where it might look a bit scary in the beginning, and again, I have to be honest, for me, this was like, okay, it looks English, but I have no idea what it means. But once you start investigating a little bit how this JSON file is actually structured, and then mapping this with the way you're actually deploying the resources in Azure, it's becoming pretty clear. Like in this example, I can see that this refers to my storage locations. When building a resource in Azure, like a virtual machine, it starts from a storage account. And this is my list box of storage accounts. A description, the virtual network name. I need to create a virtual network and providing a name, providing an address range, and even using some default information. IP subnets, and at some point it asks me for the administrator account and the password, providing me a list of virtual machine t-shirt sizes that I can use. And I'll show you this comes back to my parameter section, where a lot of the information is already filled out upfront. So I'm going to deploy standard, and I'm going to name this one TechNet Friday, so just to make sure that all values are unique. User account and password, because this is a Windows Server requirement. The t-shirt size list of the machines that I can decide on. The domain name, PDT TechNet Friday, PDT TechNet Friday, not that important for the demo. And that's it. Linking it to my subscription, my resource group, it actually allows me to create a new one. TechNet Friday resource group. Accepting that I know that this is a GitHub script and they are not responsible if it destroys my environment. Create, and that's all it takes. It will take a couple of minutes, so I'm not going to wait till the resource is actually fully deployed. I mean, it's not the critical part of my demo. But the thing is that we started from deploying something semi-automated out of the marketplace. Then I stepped over to using GitHub, where you can start from one of those many pre-configured scripts. And as I showed you, by updating the script template, the JSON file, it actually allows you to create your own version of the pre-configured template. Like, think of the full list of virtual machines. What if, for example, there's a standard in your customer's environment where you always need to deploy, I don't know, like a D5 machine? Yeah, then you can remove all the other ones, or even setting it as a default required value. So in the meantime, I'm letting my deployment run, and I'm jumping back to the next part. So in this next section, I'm going to show you that out of this, what I like to call loose components, so using GitHub, using PowerShell, using JSON files, that I actually find out that a lot of those different components are actually available in Visual Studio as well. And again, I was even more scary about using Visual Studio than already checking out JSON files out of GitHub. Because yeah, in the end, Visual Studio is a development tool. So I had no idea why I should use Visual Studio from an IT pro perspective. Now, a couple of things that are available out of Visual Studio and Visual Studio Online is this DevOps mechanism that I already explained to you before, that we have the different teams, developers, IT pros, we build the code, and then we need to deploy it in production. And we release our coding once for the development cycle, porting it to the staging cycle, and then having it ready in production. Where the core value, first of all, of the mechanism, and second of DevOps as a way of working, is giving you a lot more value. It's optimizing your deployment. It streamlines and accelerates your delivery. I mean, if something is wrong in the staging, then it's pretty easy to go back to development. If something is wrong in production, you go back to staging. And depending on how many updates you have in this specific example, but imagine you have your website, your web shop up and running, and then you try to update a small part of the web shop. If that small part that's being released in production goes wrong, then you just revert your cycles and you republish your previous version. And Visual Studio Online is like the, in my opinion, one of the best tools so far that I know to optimize and streamline that process. And then again, talking about Azure as an example, there's a lot more than just deploying resources. It's what about permissions? What about monitoring rules? What about billing, for example? How can I handle it? What about deploying? I need one VM. I need three VMs. I need 70 VMs. And what about communication if the deployment goes wrong? So a lot of questions, a lot of concerns. where again, Visual Studio makes your life a lot easier. When thinking about Azure, all Azure components from an infrastructure perspective are allocated in a resource group. So we build a resource group, and within a resource group, we build our resources. Like I showed you in my previous demo, a virtual machine, a database, a website, storage components, and so on. And then again, using some kind of automation tool, an easy one, PowerShell. I mean, PowerShell is not specific to Azure. I mean, it's been there for, I don't know, like close to 10 years, I think. Server 2008, Exchange 2007, which used to be one of my core expertises. I had to learn PowerShell at that moment in time, and PowerShell is still valid. But then a lot of those specific deployment parameters had to be hard-coded in your PowerShell script, where now by using JSON files, as I showed you already before, you can actually create your own schema templates. So defining your parameters, defining your variables, and then from the PowerShell script, actually relating to the JSON file, as I showed you in my GitHub deployment example. And then we have our deployments and then tracking what's going on, reverting, and so on. So with that, got like 10 minutes left for my next demo, is deploying an Azure resource by using Visual Studio and then stepping up to Visual Studio Online, the Visual Studio Team Services, and showing you the integration from there on. So let me try to start up my Visual Studio. Now, again, for the developers in the session who are like watching the recording, maybe a couple of things that I'm going to show you are like, yeah, but you know, this is pretty basic Visual Studio. But then just try to remember or put yourself in my IT pro shoes and how hard learning Visual Studio actually was for me in the beginning. So I just started Visual Studio. Now, what happened here is, and actually pretty automated even, is providing me this new window that's called Cloud Explorer. And what it actually does is asking you for your credentials. Now, it recognizes my user account, so that's pretty automated as well. But it allows me to connect to my Azure resources. So my virtual machine, for example. This is the virtual machine that's being deployed. My storage account. I have a couple of them. Storage account for one virtual machine, for my SaaS recovery, disaster recovery solution. This is probably the one that's being deployed out of the script that's still running in background. I can actually connect to my virtual disk information. Virtual machine has a VHD file, and next to that, creating an OS disk. So if I jump back to my Azure dashboard, I can actually show you about the same structure. So my different resource groups, TechNet Friday, so the one that's coming from my previous demo, and in my resource group, I have my availability set, virtual machine, a load balancer, network settings, and so on. Again, the cool thing is that all this information is also visible directly out of my Visual Studio environment. Now let me deploy a new solution. And I call this TechNet Friday DevOps. No, not open one. You have to create a new one. You know, it's Friday for me as well. So let me deploy a cloud and a new Azure resource group. I'm going to stick to the default namings to speed up the demo a little bit. What I'm seeing here It's actually part of the marketplace demo that I showed you before. I showed you the SQL Server. Let's say, keep it easy, a Windows Virtual Machine. So now Visual Studio is collecting all the information and it presents me with a couple of interesting files. So I have my source group, it's my Visual Studio solution, my project that I'm working on. With my Visual Studio group, I have my scripts deployed as a resource group, VS1, which already means it's PowerShell script. And next to that, I do have my templates, those virtual machine JSON file and the parameters JSON file. Now, let me zoom in a little bit. Deployment script. So not actually doing anything without knowing anything about PowerShell, just by selecting the cloud resource and creating an Azure resource group, I actually get this cool PowerShell script. Without going too much in detail on this PowerShell script, what it actually does is allowing me to build an Azure resource group based on settings in my JSON file. Where, if I zoom in on my JSON file, for the username and a password for the virtual machine, a unique DNS name, t-shirt sizes, and a lot of other things. And again, this is all pre-built, ready, available out of Visual Studio with Azure integration. And a parameter file. And then, of course, I want to deploy mapping to my Azure account and providing me my subscriptions, create a new resource group, and build this in Western Europe. Using settings from this JSON file, some parameters that I need to enter, account, password, and Azure resource. Not that important. Saving, deploying. And again, what happens is basically from my Visual Studio, it will connect to my Azure backend. And besides seeing the deployment in the same way that it's running in background from my previous demo, I can actually get detailed output logging information. So I can see that it's deploying in this specific tenant. And I can actually see the specific subscription resource ID and the location and verbose logging. So if I now jump back to my Azure portal resource groups, there should be a new one. Here we go, Azure Resource Group 1. And it's again deploying a couple of resources, virtual machines, and so on and so on. So that's again the third way of deploying a resource in Azure, not using the manual way from the marketplace, not by using GitHub, actually semi-automated out of Visual Studio. Or another example, let me open up. Another one. So this is a sample solution that's integrating with Azure Active Directory authentication. So if I built this application, it's a basic website, I can see, for example, that a build has succeeded, which means that all the files, all my ASP.NET, my web config files, and so on, don't have any in the descriptions. I'm going to deploy this website, and you will see that it's just a basic web application. Which is not running for some reason, but not that important. Allow me to go back to my coding. Okay. Now what I have here is, for example, something that's called for that. My screen is doing a bit crazy. I don't know why. Something that's called Team Explorer. My Explorer is actually having a couple of interesting features, like changes tracking. So imagine I want to update something in my webconfig file and making mistake. I don't know where. Let's say I remove this. Now, if I rebuild my coding, then you can see here that my coding is broken because something in my webconfig file is wrong. Nothing actually blocks me from being the bad developer at this moment in time. I'm actually still handing over this code to the pro guy, copying it to the virtual machine in Azure and actually finding out that the website is not running. By using this Team Explorer, every change that I'm doing, I'm going to remove some parts, is I broke the code. Then saving this information, and you can already find out what's happening. It's keeping track of those changes. And then in the last minutes that I have, show you the integration with Visual Studio Online, so the Visual Studio Team Services, where I have my similar project ready, built in my local Visual Studio environment on my local machine, then uploading, synchronizing the Visual Studio Team Services online repository. And from there on, I can, for example, see my different builds, where a build is like a deployment stage. And I have a stage from a couple of weeks ago and an updated version. So you can see here version 1, version 2. And just by double clicking on this, I can see that that build was succeeded. And I'll try to zoom in a little bit and show you associated changes. So, like I showed you in my previous example, whenever I make changes in my local Visual Studio and then committing the changes out of the Team Explorer, anybody who's part of this online repository can actually go back and review the code. So if something was wrong, then it's easy to go back. That's basically what I wanted to show you in a couple of different demos. So how to deploy an Azure resource from scratch, or again, reusing GitHub coding if you want by copy pasting JSON files and template files, and the integration with Visual Studio Team Services. So, with that, we're pretty good on timing, just like 1 or 2 minutes behind schedule. Where I started the session explaining you what DevOps actually means and why you should start using it, then the different tools based on your private cloud, your public cloud environment, then jumping to some demos in deploying Azure resources, and then the last section, actually Visual Studio and Visual Studio Team Services online, do some interesting and cool things. Well, I hope you liked my demos. You had some fun. Again, feel free to reach out. Let me know if you do have any questions.